Have a brief word of prayer, then we'll hear the word of God together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we commend these next moments in our lives now to thee as we come to sit under thy word and at the feet of the Saviour. Our Father, we pray that we may hear thy word humbly and submissively. We pray that that give to us teachable spirits, mouldable spirits, that our Father, we might be moulded more into the likeness of our dear Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that we might be sanctified, that people might be sanctified through the word that they hear tonight. And we ask, Lord, for any here who have not yet even as yet first trusted in Christ, we pray that thou grant to them such a saving faith in thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. So do hear us, Lord, we pray. And we ask that thou bless the word to each and every one of us, not only to those who hear it, but all those who preach the word tonight. We pray that thou be pleased to bless them, as the scriptures say, to water the waterers, but also, Father, to refresh thy people. Hear us then, we pray. Bless us now. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Well, dear friends, our text for tonight is Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Chiefly because it mentions here about trusting. So Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. We have these words, these inspired words of God. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. The resolution there, the resolve to trust and not be afraid. Why? Well, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Well, last Lord's Day evening, Sunday evening, we continued looking together at Christian trust, a little series at the moment on a Sunday evening about the Christian, what's true of each Christian. All Christians are believers in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. And all Christians are those who are trusting in God, trusting in him for everything, as we shall see. So this is what we're looking at just at the moment. We looked at last time, Christian trust. And we looked first of all at what or who we are not to trust in as Christian believers, if we are Christian believers. We're not going to trust in idols. Idols are those things that take the place of God. We're not going to be interested in them. We're not going to trust in them. Remember I said about idols, they're not just the kind of gods that people worship in foreign countries, in kind of world religions, is anything that takes the place of God. We're not to trust in them, not to trust in idols. We're not to trust in other people with the kind of trust that we are to put or to place in God either. And also we're not to have a kind of a self-trust. We're not to trust in ourselves or anything about ourselves, our works we saw, our wealth, and a number of other things. So we looked at this Christian trust negatively first of all, and then we looked at it positively by secondly seeing who we are to trust in. And we saw that as Christians, we're to trust in God. We're to trust in God. Just like Cromwell, I think, once said, one of his sayings, trust in God and keep your powder dry. We're to trust in God the Father, trust in God the Son, and also trust in God the Holy Ghost, or God the Holy Spirit, for everything, for salvation, and everything to do with the Christian life, even to eternity. So we're looking at that last time, last Sunday evening, Christian trust and those things to do with it. Tonight I want us to, Karen, indeed, to conclude looking at this aspect of the believer's trust in God by looking at three aspects to do with it. The person there in Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2 said, I will trust and not be afraid. But I want to look first of all at what are those things that we are to trust in God for as his people. What are we to trust in him for? What are we to put or to place our confidence in him for? Secondly, we need to also look tonight at the times when we are to trust in him. When are we to trust in God as his people? When is the time for trust? And thirdly and finally tonight, I want us to look at why we are to trust in him. I was interested in Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2 there. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Why not? And he gives some reasons there. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. So there are always reasons why we are to trust in him at certain times and for certain things, indeed for all things. So let's look at this tonight, and God willing, as we look at these things this evening, if you're somebody here who perhaps has no faith, the Lord be merciful to you and grant to you saving look to Jesus Christ. You might trust in him for the first time. If you are those who have already trusted in God and trusted in Christ, may your trust grow tonight. May it be stronger. And may you specifically and particularly trust in him for these things or in these ways this week and resolve to do so. Remember those words in Isaiah 12 verse 2, I will trust. Make it your resolve tonight. Make it your resolution this week to place your trust in God for the things I'm going to mention, and the times that I'm going to mention too, and for the reasons that I'm going to share with you. So let's look first of all at those things that we are to trust in God for. How wide is it? How expansive is it? Well, I'll tell you. We, if you're a Christian here tonight, Christian man, woman, boy or girl, you are to trust in God for everything. You're to trust in him for all things. Particularly, you're to trust, of course, in him for all good things, all good things. The psalmist in Psalm 84 and verse 11 and 12 puts it like this, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, no good thing, no good thing. That is how good and how generous and kind and merciful and loving our God is. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So be sure you're walking with him, walking closely with him. And that's no good thing, that's the promise, will he withhold from those who do so. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee for this reason. And then Paul in Romans, that famous chapter 8, and at verse 32, he reasons like this. He reasons from the greater to the lesser. He, God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Reason like this, dear Christian brother or sister, if God has done that, if he's given his son for you to death, even the death of the cross, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Not everything, not things that are bad for us, but he'll give us all good things, those things that we have need of. And then finally, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, in Paul's charge to Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So that is it. That's what we're to trust him for. We're to trust in him for all things, all good things that he gives us richly to enjoy. Well, that's helpful in a way, but it's not very specific. So what are the kind of things that we are to trust in him for? What are the all things here, the all good things? Well, they're the things that we were looking at last Thursday evening's Bible study and prayer meeting. We were looking at going through the attributes of God, and we were looking at these things to do with God's grace or his mercies toward his people. We're looking at this, for example. We're to trust in him for all the good things that he gives to us in his common, general, or some people call it in his natural grace. In other words, we're to trust him for all the earthly, outward, and temporal mercies of this life. Remember we mentioned about that on Thursday, if you were here, about God's common or general mercies. Well, this goes on very well from that. This is one thing that we're to trust in him for. To trust in him for his common and general mercies. What are they? Well, they are, first of all, we're to trust in him just for our life and breath and being. Paul, in preaching, as recorded in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, he preached there to unbelievers about God. He said, neither is worship, God is not worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. To trust in him for that. Trust in him that he's given us being. Trust in him that he'll give us life. Trust in him that he'll give us breath until our appointed time, till death comes, and until he then ushers us into eternity. Trust him for your life. Trust him for your health. Trust him for your breath, for the beating of your heart, for your well-being, for your health. Don't become a hypochondriac, in other words. Trust in him for your health. And when you fall ill or sick, or you even become diseased, trust in him at all times, even in times of sickness and in times of death. So as far as our lives are concerned, we're to trust in him for their preservation, their protection or safety from every accident, danger, enemy and evil. David in Psalm 3 and verse 5 said this, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, but the Lord sustained me. He kept my life going, even not only while he was awake and conscious, but while he was asleep. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. If you want to sleep well, pray for sleep, trust in the Lord for sleep, and whatever sleep he gives to you, thank him for it in the morning. And praise him that he keeps you, keeps your heart beating, and keeps your lungs breathing through the night season as well as through the day when we're conscious. Then he says in Psalm 4 and verse 8, the next psalm, I will both lay me down in peace and in peace. When you go to bed, when you lay your head upon the pillow, do you lay yourself down in peace and sleep? For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And David wasn't always inside. He was sometimes outside, and he was being chased from pillar to post by Saul, who wanted to slay him. And yet David trusted in God for his life and for his breath. And while he was sleeping, and he was able to lay himself down in peace and sleep, it was God who made him to dwell in safety. Is there anything better, more sweet and precious than a good night's rest, a good night's sleep? Something to trust God for. Then Psalm 121 verses 5 and 8. The Lord is thy keeper. He'll keep you. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Trust him. Trust him for your being, for your breath, your life, and for your sleep, for the night and everything. Trust in God for that. General or common mercy. We're also to trust in him for our clothing and our shelter. This is something that Jacob did. In Genesis 28, 20 and 21, Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and he'll keep me in the way that I go when he was leaving his parents' house and will give me bread to eat and raiment, that means his clothing to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. He was going to trust in God. Especially in those days, you know, when it wasn't quite so easy to be clothed and to wash clothes and to get more clothes when some wore out, he was going to trust in God for his clothing and for his shelter. You remember the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon upon the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. He said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Because it's something you never think about. It's something we take for granted. We shouldn't. These are precious things. God keeping us in life. God giving us our clothing from day to day. And our shelter, particularly this time of year when you've got all these storms, all this stormy weather, all the winds. And all the rain is a precious thing to be protected in our homes made out of brick that are sturdy and strong on good foundations and to be protected from the elements. And then this is also the secret of Christian contentment, having food and raiment. Don't be greedy. But if you have these things, if God has fed you today, if he's fed you today, and if he's given you clothes on your back, and if he's sheltered you today, let us therewith be content. Let us not be greedy as Christians, let us be godly and have a godly contentment. So trust him for your clothing and your shelter, and trust him also for then your food and drink. Again, this is something that Jacob did. He mentions it in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15. And then the psalmist says, David again, Psalm 37 verses 3 and 25, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He goes on to say in the same psalm, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Not that it never happens, but it's very, very rare. Those who know the Lord and trust in him, the Lord provides. Not only with clothing and shelter, but also with food and drink. These are precious things. Don't take them for granted. Don't take these common mercies for granted. Don't treat them as common and look down upon them. Treat them as common as God being good to all, believers and unbelievers alike. And again, in our Lord's Sermon upon the Mount, in Matthew 6 and verse 25, he taught, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than a raiment? So trust in him for your food and drink. Food and drink that is convenient for you, that is within reach. Food and drink that is necessary for us, necessary for our well-being and for our health and continuance in life. And food and drink that is sufficient for us, not too little, that we're thirsty or we hunger, not too much, that we become greedy. Food, convenient, necessary, and enough for us. Available, good for us, and enough for us. So we're to trust in him for common general mercies. But also, my dear friends, as his people, we're to trust in him for all the good things that he gives to us. I mentioned this again last Thursday evening, in his particular or special, some sometimes call it, his supernatural grace, the eternal or spiritual mercies of our lives that he gives to those who trust in him and who trust in his son Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Those things that I mentioned already, those things God blesses all people with, but these things he only blesses his people with. And we're to trust in him, trust in Christ for eternal or everlasting life. We're to trust in Christ for the pardon of our sins because he died for our sins upon the cross. We're to trust in him for peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in his name. We're to trust in him for reconciliation back to God. We're to trust in him for the redemption or the salvation of our souls. Trust in him also for the precious righteousness of his Son Jesus Christ. These are things. These are some of the things, many of the things that we're to trust in him for. Well, are you doing this? Are you trusting him for these things? Because in this way, as a Christian, you can be content. As a Christian, you can be at peace. As a Christian, you can be satisfied and always glorifying and enjoying God. Secondly, so if those are things we're to trust him for, when are the times that we're to trust him? Trust him for all things, all good things. But the scriptures then teach us that we're to trust in him. What does it say? You know, surely you know. We're to trust in him at all times. Trust him for everything. Oh, my dear friends, that we could do this. We just pray for the grace of God to put our trust in him for everything. And to put our trust in him at all times, no matter what time it is. We might do this, we might put or place our confidence and our trust in God. Because therein is our blessedness, our happiness, our safety, our strength, and so on. David again, Psalm 62 and verse 8. He says there, he encourages believers of his day, trust in him. When? Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. We can hide ourselves in him. trust in him at all times for protection and for the provision of our needs. General is good again, but to be a little bit more specific. My dear friends, let's trust in him. It's easy to trust in the Lord when things are going well, but it's not so easy when things aren't going so very well. But the reason why God permits things sometimes not to go very well in our lives is so that we might trust in him, we might prove him, we might prove his promises, we might prove his attributes toward us, his faithfulness toward us, and so that our faith might be strengthened. My dear friends, if everything was always easy, if Christianity was always just a bed of roses, my dear friends, where would faith be? And where would the growth and the increase and the strengthening of our faith be? We'd have a very weak faith, wouldn't we? But God permits difficult times in order that we might put our trust in him and might see how lovely it is to do that, and that our faith might grow and increase and be strengthened. What are the times? Well, in times of affliction, I looked it up in the dictionary, times of calamity, domestic calamity, calamity at work, calamity at school or college, times of distress, of misery. Yes, Christians sometimes even go through periods of misery and unhappiness and sorrow, times of pain, physical pain, mental torture, emotional difficulty, times of suffering. These are the times that we're to put our trust in God. Zephaniah, it's an unlikely one, chapter 3 and verse 12. I'll also leave in the midst of the afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. When we're afflicted, God permits affliction and difficulties in our lives, we're to put our trust in him. You're going through a time like that, a time of affliction, you're being afflicted in some way or another. It might be internal, it might be outward. You might be persecuted in some way. Put your trust in God. Trust in him. Trust in him for the measure of what's going on. It won't be more than you can bear. Trust in him, he'll bring you through it. He'll end it at some juncture. He might take the affliction away, or take you away from the affliction, or give you the grace to bear it. Trust in him in times of affliction. And another one here. My dear friends, trust in him in times of spiritual darkness. In times when you feel that God has deserted you, when he seems to have turned away from you, when he seems to have hidden his face from you, when his face has gone on the other side of the cloud, but even he's still there. You're not kind of aware of him so much anymore. You're not aware of his presence, but he's still there. Trust him. In times of darkness, in times when you feel that God has deserted you, Isaiah 50 verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness? Sometimes, yes, we walk in the light as children of the light, and everything is wonderful. We know where we're going. We know what God is doing. But sometimes he bids us to come into dark paths. We don't know what he's doing. We don't know where we're going. We trust he knows what we know that he knows what he's doing. We don't know what we're doing. We're to trust in him. When we walk in darkness, when we have no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And then in Micah 7, 8 and 9, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness. When I sit in darkness, not there walking in darkness, but sitting in darkness, perhaps in rather a state of despair. The Lord shall be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light in the end, and I shall behold his righteousness. An elderly man in my previous pastorate, he always used to put it like this, that we are to trust him when we can't trace him. Sometimes we can trace God. We feel his presence. He's going before us. He's guiding us. He's speaking to us through his word. Yeah, we're to trust in him then. But trust him when you can't trace him, when you don't know what he's doing with you, when you don't know where you're going, when he doesn't appear to be speaking to you any longer in your private readings or even in the public worship. You don't seem to be getting anything. You've got to keep on going. You've got to graft. You've got to keep on coming, keep on listening until he begins to speak to you again. He takes us through times like that. Look at what he put Job through. But he put him through that so that he might come forth, his faith might come forth as gold. That's what God wants you to see, wants to see in you. You trust him when evidences are removed. You trust in him alone and in his naked word and in the promises of his word. So trust in him in times of darkness, spiritual darkness and desertion. Trust in him, my dear friend, not only in life, but when you come to die. Which of us knows that we're going to be around next Lord's Day or next day? We know that tragedies happen, and tragedies happened recently on Dartmoor, man losing his life there in a canoe accident, kayaking accident. I think a number of others have lost their lives recently through all this flooding. Well, perhaps it's unlikely we'd die like that, but there's an appointed time for each one of us. It's coming. It might come when we're younger. That's when we're a little bit older. But when it comes, God is not going to give you the grace to die until that time comes. But when it comes, he'll give you the grace to die. David again says in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He's trusting him. He's going to trust him. "Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. You can hear that psalmist there, Psalm 48 verse 14, trusting in God. He'll be our guide, even to death. Oh yes, but this God, if we're his people and he is our God, he'll be our guide through death. And he'll be our guide to glory. And we're also to trust him in times of temptation. Well, I could go on, couldn't I? I could elaborate and amplify further and further. But really, the sum of the matter is this. The conclusion of the matter is, trust him for everything. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Always put your trust in him. Always look to him. Do it. And especially when you go through times of difficulty. Times when you feel you need guidance. You don't know where God wants you to be. Trust in him. He'll make it plain. He'll make it clear in the end to you. And the final thing tonight is this. Why are we to do this? Well, of course, we're to do it anyway. God is God, and we're to trust in him. And to mistrust him, is a sin. It's an insult to him not to trust in God. But let me give you some reasons to encourage us to do so. We're to trust in him because, when you think about it, everything about God encourages us as his people to put our trust in him. When you think about his attributes, that God is faithful, God is good, God is gracious, God is so long-suffering, God is so kind, loving kind toward us. He is a merciful God, he's a pitiful God. All these things encourage us to trust in him. Psalm 52 and verse 8, "I'm like a green olive tree," David said, "in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." You think about the Lord, you think about his character, his attributes, his being, all of these things. There's nothing in God that discourages us than putting our trust in him. Everything motivates us to do so. When you think of all his glorious names, El Shaddai, God all-sufficient, Jehovah, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength," the self-sufficient God, all these names of God, let alone the very nature, all these names that show the nature of God, helps us to be confident in him. He's the all-sufficient one, the all-powerful one, the all-wise one, the God who is everywhere. When you think of his oath and promises, his providential dealings with us in this world, his truth, his word, his gospel, all these things should lead us to place our confidence in him. And then two other reasons before we close. When you consider the past experience of believers, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, Christians down to today, great Christians in church history, those perhaps who have been forgotten, when you think of all their past history, it should encourage us to trust in him. Because when they did so, they were never confounded, were they? But God always helped them and delivered them. When we think of people's past experience, the people in the Bible who put their trust in God, they were never confounded. God always had mercy upon them and delivered them and helped them and was faithful to them and helped them to be faithful. Turn, say, to a chapter like Hebrews chapter 11, where you have that great gallery of believers and what they're able to accomplish in God. They put their trust in God. Look at what they were able to do. Look at what they were able to overcome. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They trusted. And they were overcomers. They were more than conquerors in Christ. They were victorious. And we'll find exactly the same. Psalm 22, 4 and 5, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and they were not confounded. You put your trust in God and you will never be ashamed. It'll be the wisest thing you ever did because he's totally trustworthy. And also, surely, my dear friends, our own past experience of the Lord and of his dealings, his kind and gracious and tender and gentle dealings with us, encourages us to put our trust in him. Because when we trusted him in the past, what were we? When you trusted him, were you unhappy? Were you weak? No. You were blessed. You were fearless. You were courageous. Perhaps you were weak in yourself, but God gave you strength to be more than an overcomer. We can't do anything without him, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Trusting him made us happy. It gave us peace, and it made us strong in him and in the power of his might. And again, this is the testament of Scripture. We put our trust in him. We are blessed. We are not afraid. We are strong. And we are kept in perfect peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou art keeping in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So there's a little further tonight about Christian trust. Trust in God. Those things that we're to trust in him for. It's a very practical thing. We're to trust in him for practical daily things, common mercies, and his special mercy toward us in Jesus Christ. We looked at when we're to trust in him. There's not a time that we're not to trust in him. We're to trust in him at all times. And thirdly, why we are to do so. So do you, to bring it home to you tonight, to challenge you before you go. Is this what you are doing? Is this what I'm doing? You trust him for every good thing. He will withhold things that are bad for you. Might be good for somebody else, not good for you. He won't give them to you. But he won't withhold any good thing from you. Trust in him for those things. Are you trusting him at all times? Not when things are well, when things are hard at home, things are hard at work, wherever it might be. Trust in him at such times. And do trust in him for all these reasons. Remember, my dear friends, it is an insult not to trust such a holy, high, and worthy, and trustworthy God. Don't do it. Don't mistrust him. Don't doubt him. Don't be unbelieving concerning him. But all your trust in him. One of those lovely words to close in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. We're to trust in him with all our hearts. Not to lean to our own understanding. In all our ways to acknowledge him. And he this week, he will direct our paths. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us tonight for his name's sake. Amen.